Dark Wraith Publishing presents. The Dark Wraith Audio Lecture Series, specially edited academic lectures in business and economics. Lecture 6, delivered on the 5th of February of 2009. The title of this lecture is Externalities.
What I'm doing here is I'm showing you parts of the economic story where the models that I'm going to do later have to be modified. And I want to bring these up first, right up front, because our economic microeconomics is actually quite solid. The theory has been around for a long time now. There's not much complication that arises. However, there are these kinds of exceptions. And they're not so much exceptions as they are broadenings of our discussion. And I don't want you to get the impression, some of you are probably quite bright. You could say, well, I can think of an exception to what you're showing there. And I want to try to get some of those out on the table right off the bat so that you know that we do recognize these. One thing about these marginal costs is great to talk about in theory. And even in practice, we are mindful that companies do price based upon marginal costs. However, interestingly enough, a lot of things in this world we do not pay the full price for. That's the way it is with the school. If you take me for macroeconomics, I would point out we're all welfare queens here. Your tuition covers only a fraction of what it costs, the school costs to run. I'm a welfare queen. I teach at a big public university. I teach at a fairly decent sized regional community college. But people don't incur the full cost. Sometimes they are able to move the costs off to someone else. And that's just, and we have incentive. If I can get someone else to pay my bill, I have no problem with it, unless they want something I'm not willing to provide, not without dinner and dancing first. But we all do that. Do any of you live at home? I shouldn't ask that. That's an embarrassing thing. We all benefit from others, and that's part of life. And we also give benefit to others. I mean, I'm sure that a guy like you, you look in the mirror in the morning and you say, well, if it's good enough for the ladies, it's got to be good enough for me. You think to yourself, I look good. I'm benefiting the world by how good I look. I dress well, my hair is kept good, and I use deodorant. What else could I possibly want to give to this world? I could come in here to this class, and I could have a PowerPoint up, and I'd get paid for it. Okay, class, we're going to watch a PowerPoint today, and tomorrow we'll have a movie. Now pay attention. Click, click. Did you all get that? Would you like me to back up? Click, click. Okay, are there any questions? Okay, thank you. That's all for today. Bye. I could do that, but I don't. Instead, I come in here dynamic, charming, well-dressed, and all of those, everyone's like, not. Yes, my hair looks like it went through an egg beater. We provide benefits to the world, but we also extract costs, and we do not see all that we do on both sides of the coin. And businesses are the same way. Oftentimes, private costs that we see, the costs that we see with our eyes, the costs that businesses see with their eyes, are not the full costs of providing a product or doing something. We call these externalities. This is a cost. If it's a cost, we call it negative externality or benefit. in which case we call it positive, a positive externality, incurred or enjoyed by a third party, not a part of the private transaction. Now, let me give you some examples. Let me give you some examples of externalities. And I'll start with some negative externalities. I'll find someone. Okay. You too. You've gotten your degrees here. You've gone on, gotten higher degrees. You've gotten good educations. You are working at making big money. And you both moved to Ironwood. Okay? If any of you don't know what Ironwood's rich, yuppie community. You both now have moved to Ironwood. You bought a house on one side of an empty lot, and you bought a house on the other side of the empty lot. They're beautiful houses. Each of them is $300,000 house. And every morning you both come out of your houses and, hi, neighbor! Oh, hi, neighbor! And you're both living the good, yuppie life. And you've got a nice little space between you so that you don't have to smell each other's farts even. Well, one day, you both come out. You'd heard some noise in the middle of the night, but you slept through it for the most part. You come out, and that empty lot is no longer empty. I have moved in from Decatur with my double-wide trailer, my double-wide woman, my three dogs, and I've already got my picket fence set up with my beer can collection, and I had my cousin and his friend Ned, they brought in my two junked old trucks. One of them actually has two wheels left, but I still put it up on the cinder blocks because otherwise it looks inconsistent with the feng shui of the property. And you guys step out, and you're just staring, and I come out in my boxer shorts, scratching my ass. Hey, guys, what do you say? What do you know? Damn! I got a neighbor. Woo! Look at you. Oh, is that a real car that runs? Oh, damn. Saw your daughter. Oh, we're going to have some fun, she and I. Shotgun. Now! What do you suppose my very existence on that property with my double wide and my double wide is going to do to your property values? It's going to suck them down, down, down the ring of fire. Now, on the other hand, my double wide indicator had a value of $10,000. What do you suppose is going to happen to the value of my double wide? Now I'm in Ironwood. You see how I am incurring upon you two a negative externality, and you are providing me a positive externality. You were not privy to the transaction I did with that real estate agent, the one that you're now going after with bloodhounds and shotguns. See, you were not part of that. But you are going to pay for it. I didn't have to pay extra, but I'm going to get a benefit from you two guys. Do you see negative and positive externalities? They happen. There's no market flaw in a pure sense. There was a private transaction. Free market at work just fine. But I'm bleeding you dry, and you're doing me a favor. Now let's do another one. Let me do this one. And this one, oh, I can tell you, this one, never mind one that's kind of unrealistic. I want you to imagine. Any of you know where Turnberry is? You know, this shotgun alley and, you know. I was sitting out on my porch, and this guy upstairs, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, I'm just sitting there minding my own business, smoking, and all of a sudden I see a urine stream coming down. Ew. I thought, what the hell, man? Get away from me. Okay. Anyway, I'm sitting there in my apartment, and it's quiet, and the cats are sleeping, and I'm just enjoying myself, just sitting on the sofa, contemplating how well I'll teach tomorrow. And it starts with a tiny, tiny vibration on the window. Zzz. Yeah, ignore it. Zzz. Zzz. It gets worse and stronger. And the window, the whole window pane begins to vibrate. The china that I bought at on QVC on the wall is going chickadee, chickadee, chickadee. And then the window starts to shake. Yes, you know what it is? It's some ignoramus in a Ford F-150 white boy playing rap music that goes thumpa thumpa mofo, thumpa thumpa ho ho, thumpa thumpa bitch. Yes! Did I have anything to say when he bought that music machine that's powered by a nuclear generator? No. My only choice is to get a rocket-propelled grenade and take that mofo out. This is a personal issue to me. So, you see, the thing of it is that I'm not getting any benefit. I'm just taking this, okay? Think about, have you ever been on one of the roads, the country roads out here, and it's worse now because of all of these yuppies who are into this health stuff and all that? You're trying to drive along. You've got to get someplace on this road, maybe in town or out somewhere. And then you look up ahead, oh God, it's a bicyclist. Yes, it's a bicyclist who's pumping along at 5 miles an hour, and then you come up behind and all you can see is his spandex-covered sweaty ass, and you have to slow down, and there's no way around him, and you know that there are witnesses, so you can't take the SOB out. He's drawing from you. He's getting benefit from that road for not paying for it. And I have to sit there putting up with that spandex-covered sweaty ass of his. Hey, you with me now? Have I made the idea of externalities clear to your asses? Yes. They are out there. And they represent a market defect. Companies that produce pollution, they're not paying for it. They just pump it out for the rest of us to pay the cost in lung disease and in all that kind of stuff. Companies that don't watch their production methods are imposing upon you a negative externality. Have you read about all the foods now that have poison in them? I'm afraid to eat these days. It's got mercury in it. It's got salmonella. It's got, you know, Godzilla coming out of the can. Free market my ass. They're handing off to you costs. They don't want to pay for the cost of the high-powered inspection, the cost of all of these different tests that they'd have to run, so they hand it off to you. And you see, these are the kinds of market. They're, in a sense, the free market here is failing to recognize all of the costs that would be involved. Now, don't get the idea, though, that positive externalities are always good. Many positive externalities are great. Education creates an incredible positive externality. That's why we subsidize it. People who go to college tend not to do things like go to prison for a long time. They tend not to break laws simply because their education makes them able to get better jobs, so the opportunity cost of spending years in jail goes up. So they don't want to risk it. That's what education does. As a matter of fact, I used to teach in prisons, and the recidivism rate among those who took my college classes was much lower than it was in the general prison population. It was the same is true with a lot of things that we provide. They create we subsidize these things that create positive externalities. However, once in a while, a positive externality, something that creates a positive externality, isn't such a good idea because we don't want the positive externality to happen. The great example of that, suppose that we are going to have a very serious influenza outbreak next year. Okay, well, now, obviously, everyone's hearing this is something, we've got to get a vaccine for this. So everyone in the class gets a vaccine. I won't get a vaccine. Why not? You guys are all safe. I can earn a positive externality from you. So I'm not going to hell with that. I'm not spending $25, $35. You guys, you'll take care of me. But then I can get one, and then you look about as cheap as I am. You'll say, well, if he ain't going to get one, I'm not. So you don't get one. And then you say, well, that's just ridiculous if you're not going to get one. So you see how that positive externality can degenerate into no one getting it. That's why we mandate childhood vaccines, is simply because the logic is a lot of parents actually don't get their vaccines for their kids because they know there is a very low probability that their children would get any of these old childhood diseases because all the other kids are vaccinated against them. So that's why we have to make sure that everyone gets the vaccines, because otherwise we get that degenerative process that goes on. So don't get the idea that always positive externalities are to be encouraged by the government. Now, in graphical terms, and this is just kind of a simplistic way of doing it, if you've got a negative externality going on, oftentimes the way that the government sees this problem is that the market price, the equilibrium price, and the equilibrium output, if it's a negative externality, that means that the marginal cost that the manufacturer is seeing is not the whole cost, marginal cost. Because some of that cost is being incurred by other people. So what the government would often do in a situation like this is they would say, all right, what is the cost of this to society, this negative externality? And then they would put a tax, and I will make that with a capital T, on that, which effectively pushes the supply curve up by the amount of the tax. And then what happens then is that that brings up the price of the product a little bit. And it also discourages production a little bit. And I'm putting that Q plus T, equilibrium quantity plus the tax. And then what they can do is take that tax and they can pay to remediate or enforce the regulation. That's the general public good theory. Externalities theory. Is we impose, if there's a negative externality, we will put a tax on that's enough to essentially, and we're guessing, we're always guessing, we can't really say, but we'll put on some kind of a tax that will cause the price to go up, which should make the amount clearing the market go down. That's a good thing. And at the same time, that tax money can then be used to address the negative externality, to clean up the pollution or what have you. That's the way we traditionally deal with externalities. Now, pure free marketers say all this is bullcrap. If there really is a negative externality, the market will find a way to rectify and make whole the third parties. The third parties will seek and demand side payments for their suffering. But in practice, that's complete horse crap. Unless you're willing to shoot me on my land, you have no recourse other than through ordinances, which we call zoning laws, which essentially impose and therefore it's like a tax. We can prohibit, we tax companies that pollute. We're now talking about carbon credits and all that kind of stuff. Effectively making it more costly to produce, to do things that cause pollution. And then we use the money we generate in the government to try to clean up some of the old messes that are around and to try to get rid of some of the problems out there. But that's our way of dealing with that kind of a market failure. And again, I'm cautious about calling it a market failure. The market really isn't failing here. It's just that the market is moving to third parties some of the costs or some of the benefits of the production of a good or a service. And this is, if you think about it, a lot of things out there are actually creating externalities. And this education creates an externality. Your very life, when you go out in public, you create both negative and positive externalities by just living. Things that you do that benefit the world and cost the world, and you're not paying the price for those.